if they're like on a plane together, like he sat next to Will Ferrell and him and Will Ferrell just did a bit the whole time on the plane together. They never said hello. They've never hung out before that. They just went into a routine and they would just like riff off of each other improv style. You know what I mean? Just because they're talented comedians.
In a world where you only have trailers and posters to judge a movie, Jim and Ted strike out to answer the age-old question, will you see it?
Happy Sunday evening, Ted. It's episode 139 on the Trailer Junkies podcast. How are you?
I know. I'm good. And it's almost, we're approaching an anniversary for us.
I think so. What, 3 years?
Is it 3 years or is it 2 years?
No, 3 years. We started in 2017.
Oh, man. 3 years of this. It's crazy.
Yeah. What was the, I don't know the date of our first drop, actually.
I think our first drop was December 1st or December 2nd or something like that. But I always say that we started it on Black Friday on that wine crawl, the Lompoc, sip Lompoc.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. We did, it was Black Friday. We were doing the wine thing in town. And so let's see if there's a date on this sucker. December 2017, December 11th.
December 11th was our first drop.
2017, our first drop. So we probably recorded the week prior. So like right. December 3rd, 4th, somewhere in that range.
Something like that. Molly's Game, right?
Yeah, let's see. Well, no, the first drop was our intro, which is kind of weird.
Oh.
Yeah, 5 minute intro. And then Molly's right, Game would trailer. Be episode 2, which was also December 11th.
There you go. We dropped both.
Molly's Game, and that's all we did that one.
Yeah, we did one at a time back in the day.
Yeah, we don't need to revisit, man. We should go listen for. Oh yeah, and Clarissa was doing our intros.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, I know it was a bit bizarre, but you know, hey, to do a pre-celebration of December 11th, we got a ways to go yet. But let's open a beer.
Okay, sounds good. Who's first? You first? Me first?
I'll go first. Sure. So I have a Firestone Walker this week, limited release, chocolate cherry stout.
Wow.
So yeah, chocolate cherry stout. And Firestone it's here on the Central Coast. I think it's in Paso Robles. And they also have like-
Is that the correct pronunciation of that?
In these parts it is. It's like Paso Robles or something.
Yeah.
But they call it Robles.
Yeah, Robles.
I know, it's so annoying. But it's not, I mean, it's only a 5.5%. It's kind of a low key, but you know, it's a stout. Stouts typically aren't, I mean, imperial stouts could be.
Right.
Yeah, you could get some really high stouts actually. But now this is pretty low key, but let's see. It's a can that I'm drinking out of. And oh, wow. Oh, that smells good.
Tasty.
Yeah, it smells like, like a stout. We'll see how it is. I'll let that head go down. What do you have?
So I am once again hitting up the Frank birthday collection here.
Oh, I see a corked bottle.
This is another corked bottle. A Chimay.
Man, lucky.
And it's a Chimay Trappist. I don't know what that means.
Well, Trappist is it's a Trappist ale brewery.
The bishops, right? Or
the
monks or whatever.
Yeah, the monks.
And it's called Grand Reserve Ale, barrel fermented French oak, American oak, and whiskey.
Oh my God. Why can't I be there? Because the Grand Reserve is like my favorite beer of all time.
It's an amazing beer, yes.
And the fact you have it in whiskey barrels.
It's a 10.5. It has 3 fermentation tank, then the barrel, then the bottle.
Yeah, I think 10.5 is what the standard Grand Reserve is. But man, that is, you are lucky tonight, man.
And that's why when you were saying like, let's do it Sunday, I was like,
I'm hoping Frank brings me one of those.
When's he coming up?
Wednesday.
Wednesday. Okay.
Yeah, they're coming Wednesday.
Cool.
Yeah, I'm barbecuing a turkey and whatnot. Yeah, this is really good. It's really creamy. I taste no cherry. I taste very little chocolate. It's just an all-around super smooth, light on the palate. Yeah, it's all around. It's just, it's not even that bitter. It's like velvet going down. Oh my God, look at that thing. How is it?
So as you know, I'm not big on the Belgians, you know?
This guy.
But Chimay is different. I hold Chimay in a different class.
Arguably, they're the gold standard.
They're the gold standard. So it's like, you know, even if you're not into tequila, if you drink, you know, the best tequila, it's still very good. So this at the Grand Reserve, this is Chimay in general. I'll take the blue and the red. I'll take all Chimays. Chimays are fine. But this is the Grand Reserve. This is the best. And it's amazing because it's a dark beer, but it's like a light. It's got tiny champagne bubbles. So it's really effervescent, but it is a pretty tasting beer.
Do you taste the whiskey barrel and the aging in the oak and everything?
Yes, I definitely taste the barrels. And I think whiskey is probably I taste the whiskey barrel more than I taste the wood of like oak.
Like the firing of the oak and all that.
Yeah. Like that's a little on the back end, but the whiskey is on the front. The whiskey is definitely the most powerful of the barreling.
So you do get the hint of the bourbon.
Yes.
Got it. Wow. That's
really
amazing.
Nice.
So I see that you changed your posters again in the back. Looks like you have the Sound of Music, the Wizard of Oz, Singing in the Rain. I can't see that.
My Fair Lady on the far end.
Okay, My Fair Lady, that I couldn't see. And then right behind your head.
And then right behind my head.
Yeah, there's a glare on it I can't see.
Oh, it's Dr. Strangelove.
Oh, there you go, Dr. Strangelove. That's not a musical, though.
Well, I guess all the rest are musicals. Oh, I didn't even think of that. Oh, do I have other musicals? I only have 4 musical posters, I guess.
Because even The Wizard of Oz, I wouldn't say it's a musical, but there is.
It definitely has musical
dancing
numbers, yeah.
Yeah, they kind of have, they're off to see the wizard dance and everything.
I have a Lilo and Stitch poster. That would have been the closest thing to a 5th musical.
But at least you balanced it because it's the other 4 are vertical. That's a horizontal.
It's my only horizontal poster, but I had to have it, so.
Yeah, and the other 4 are musicals. That one's not. The other 4 are in color. That one's in black and white. So it actually is like in where you have it right in the middle. It's like,
yeah,
it's like the fulcrum.
And then it's also interesting if you look at Wizard of Oz and Singing in the Rain, they're both like, you know, the main characters are making their way down the poster. So it's, you know, there's more balance than just the fulcrum there. But
yeah, very cool. I like that.
Thank you.
So other than rearranging the furniture, how's the week?
The week has been good. Good. Pretty uneventful. I guess we're trying to plan our Thanksgiving. This is dropping Thanksgiving, so happy Thanksgiving to everyone, right? Are you going to prep this? Are we going to drop this Thanksgiving?
That's right. Yeah. It's dropping on Thanksgiving morning, so yeah, happy Thanksgiving. That's right.
Yeah. And then, so we're planning like the smallest Thanksgiving ever. Anne's getting the smallest bird ever for just the 4 of us.
Yeah, we got a 13-pounder, I think.
Yeah, I think we're trying to go for single digits, so we'll figure out how to do that, how to get the 8-pound turkey if it's possible, you know?
So you're looking for like a turkey chick.
Yeah, like a turkey pullet or something, you know? So we're doing that. Just the school finally came down and the whole Burbank Unified decided that they will not be going back to school in the fall. I mean, in the fall. Oh, God, please let them go back to school in the fall.
Right.
They will not be going back to school come January for the rest of the school year. So we're doing remote learning.
Yeah, we're the same boat right now. We just got an email the other day. They're talking about if we go back, it's going to be March 1st at the earliest.
Oh, okay.
And even that looks dicey. My feeling is, I mean, okay, March 1st.
At that point, yeah. At that
yeah,
point,
now
what are
you
doing?
Go into April, and then it's like, what are we going to do? Go back to the classroom for 3 weeks? Or I mean, it's going to be to the end of the year. It's going to be the whole school year. I mean, it really sucks, you know, like Mike in kindergarten and everything. And those are the grades, too. Like, if you're a senior in high school or a junior in high school, you sit there, you listen to the teacher drone on, you take your notes, you take your tests. But like kindergarten, first, second grade, those are so hands-on.
Yeah.
You know, teachers are doing little projects and I mean, they really miss a lot of the enrichment, I think, at the early ages and stuff, you know.
And those early ages, that's your first separation from your parents. That's like learning to be an individual away from your parental units, you know? So there's a separation that you're completely losing in that first, second, and third grade. And it's kind of amazing. But I will say, I think being a, the next group of people that I feel the most for are the seniors.
Oh yeah.
Because to me, the senior year is like,
you miss out on all the stuff.
It's basically a year off, you know? Yeah, you miss out on all the stuff. And it's like, by the time senior year rolled around, I had everything down. I knew how to play everything.
Totally.
I didn't have to do any work. You know what I mean? I had senioritis all year.
Right.
But I passed everything with flying colors. I graduated summa cum laude, but I didn't need to work. You know?
This guy, man.
And the funny thing is, like, because Anne and no, the kids are like, oh, did you read that, Daddy? I was like, no, but I aced the test. And Anne and the kids are, you know, Anne's like, you can't tell the kids that. You can't tell them that you didn't read things. So now I've just eliminated that part. And I said, you know, what is it? The Lord of the Flies. Audrey said, did you read it? And I said, I got an A on the test. And she was like, oh, you got Cliff Notes or something like that. Whatever the kids use as Cliff Notes today. I was like, nope, I didn't do that either.
I watched the movie.
I just crowdsourced my friends and, you know, we would talk about it a little bit. And I knew just enough to get through like discussions about it. And I listened to the discussions, and off of the discussions, I aced the test. So what do you need? You know, you just pay attention, and you can get pretty far.
Well, I could say I graduated with a C- GPA, whatever that it was like a I forget it was like a 1.8 or something GPA. I don't know. I was a terrible student, and then of course you know I go to college and graduate school, and you know 4.0 and.
See, and that's the proper peaking. You gotta pick your peaks, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you know, and then it's like whatever, I forget what high honors is, what, summa cum laude or something, and
yeah, magna cum laude is the highest, is
whatever
over
the highest one is.
Yeah.
I don't remember what it is, but you know, I graduated with all that stuff, and you know, for my undergrad and grad school and everything high honors, and
yeah.
But high school, oh God, I hated it. Like I couldn't stand school and just didn't do any work. And I was just a knucklehead, man. Like I knew what it took to like have one percentage point higher than I needed to stay eligible for sports.
Right.
That's all I needed.
Yeah. Bryce is reading the rubric of how the grades are handed out. And he goes, oh, look, satisfactory. I was like, oh, buddy, you got to shoot a little bit higher than satisfactory.
I would be so upset if I had 1 point higher than I needed, because that means I spent 5 minutes longer than I should have preparing and studying when I could have been doing something else. Like I was just, I had it calculated down to the percentage point.
Yeah. Bryce always throws it out to Anne. He's like, the law of diminishing return, mommy. The law of diminishing return. If
it.
I put too much effort into this, it doesn't really help me any extra.
Yeah. And then I cram it all in. I take the test. I forget it all. And what's the point anyway?
So how was your week?
Yeah, week was good. Yesterday we had a Falcon 9 launch.
Oh, yeah.
That's where, you know, what SpaceX does. They have the Falcon 9, of course, and they launched the rocket. It was some like ocean monitoring satellite or something, you know, climate change, ocean monitoring satellite. And they land the booster back at the pad, and you watch this thing come in. I mean, and it drops like it's supersonic. I mean, it's dropping. I don't really know how fast, but it's got to be like a couple thousand miles an hour. And you see it coming, and you can see it from like way up there, you know, like where the atmosphere like starts or something, you know, and you see this thing dropping in, and every once in a while they fire, boom, and they'll fire it for like a split second, and then it drops in, you know, and it's coming in so hot and fast, and then like immediately it puts on the brakes with a reverse thruster, whatever you want to call it, boop, and touches down like a feather. It touches down, and then the sonic boom hits.
Wow.
Holy cow. It is so loud, and it reverberates and shakes everything. I mean, it is incredible.
How far away can you hear that? Can you hear that down here? You can't hear it down here. We heard something. We heard something down here. Do you think we hear the upper atmosphere booms?
You might be able to hear the sonic boom. I don't know. I don't. I guess it depends on how far it travels. But
yeah,
my next door neighbor was out and he was on the phone with somebody downtown because we live like on the hill a little bit. And they heard it about 4 seconds before we heard it because it's traveling, you know.
Oh, nice.
So it was really, it's really fascinating how that works. You know, I mean, it's just the speed of sound, of course. But
yeah.
But yeah, it's like in downtown, the sonic boom hits and then like 4 seconds later, because we heard it on the phone and then we heard it. It was kind of weird, you know,
the digital before the air compressed sonic boom.
Exactly. And then I got to plug my new Instagram account.
Oh, that's right.
So I've been like collecting pictures and photos of bike lanes and bike commuting and just crazy stuff around town that I see when I'm like out riding the bike going to work, because I ride everywhere. And so I have this thing called Bike Lanes of Lompoc, and it's where I chronicle the good, bad, and ugly of bike lanes and bike commuting and stuff in and around Lompoc, California. You know, I have to say for sure it's the gift that keeps on giving, because there's so much ridiculousness out there. And then I also learned a lot about development and what it looks like and how...
What is it? Is it like city planning or community planning, or is it part of that?
Yeah, like city planning, transportation planning, you know, road engineering, you know, it's all that kind of stuff that people put in, you know, but like this one guy, the Flying 90, that's the guy who left this comment. He said, amazing account. Thank you so much for creating this. See you out on the road. So yeah, he likes it. And, you know, I'm getting, you know, I have like some city council members following it now and a lot of different businesses in and around town. And so it's pretty cool in that regard, you know, and maybe I'll get people start seeing it and thinking like, ah, well, maybe we do need to make things a little bit better. So we'll see, you know.
Yeah. Or stop parking in the bike lane.
Yeah. You know, like some bike advocacy, like local bike advocacy work that, you know, people can actually like, because you could go and talk and it does, you know, but once you start seeing the pictures, seeing, you know, like what it looks like to be out there, seeing the tree branches, you know, hanging over the bike lane where you can't get past, or the trash cans in the bike lane, you know. Yeah. And then once you start seeing it, it's like, oh wow, this isn't just one place. This is like everywhere, always happening.
Right. Pretty regular standard stuff.
So speaking of the chaotic bike lanes and the chaotic bicycling, let's get to chaos walking.
Chaos Walking, an amazing trailer.
Oh, the trailer's fantastic.
Yeah.
I love where you have to fix the tracking on the VCR cuts or transitions.
Right.
It's like, oh, there goes the tracking again, you know, and you're trying to like, you know, dick with that.
Remember the manual tracking? We had the oldest VCR that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
But it was actually like, you have digital tracking where it's a button on a remote, but I'm talking about like the little lever that you had to flip down the little panel, and then you had to like adjust the tracking that way. Have you ever done that?
Wait, there was digital tracking.
Yeah, there's digital, like a remote control. You could change the tracking on a remote control. You never had that?
No, we had the kind like you're talking about where you had to manually do it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like I think you turned like a knob or something. I don't remember exactly.
It's all different. Yeah, they had different ways of doing it. And they eventually got to the point where it was like a volume control or a channel control on a remote where it could go up and down.
Oh, no, we did get one later that had like auto tracking.
Right. Oh, the auto tracking is nice.
Yeah, auto tracking. But yeah, it just reminded me of something like that, you know, where you have to like fix the tracking and stuff. But no, I love the cuts where they had like I don't know. What would you even call that? Where like it's the signal's breaking up or something.
Yeah, it's like interference or noise, digital noise.
Right.
It mimics the type of digital noise effects that they use to display the men's thoughts.
Thoughts, right.
Yeah.
And I found it curious though, because there's no women they kill off all the women, which tells me this is the last generation on this planet. How does that work?
Right.
Yeah, I mean, if you kill all the women off, like, there's no more people.
Well, this leads into my favorite part of the whole trailer, because, you know, I've watched this with the family a couple times this week, and my favorite thing to do when a new people watch it is right after, you know, they come together, they land, they give a little bit of an exposition. She says, what happened to all, you know, they explain that these are, you know, that no men can no longer hide their thoughts. Their thoughts are broadcast through this thing, the noise or whatever they call it. And Daisy Ridley says, well, what happened to all the women? So I paused the trailer in the middle of that with Anne and Audrey in the room. And I'm like, of course, once you hear all the men's thoughts, no women wants to be around that. So of course they would just leave.
Well, it's like Liar Liar meets The Quiet Place.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you just can't hold it back. You got to say everything that comes to mind, that's top of mind. And by doing that, the aliens just eat you. I don't know. I mean, what do you think of this, though? Do you think it's something that you'd want to see?
I definitely want to see it. I know that Audrey she's been waiting for this. You know,
well,
she has her Tom Holland mug that she pulls out, and she was using it this weekend. So she's been waiting for this for a long time. It's been on the shelf for a while. I think I want to say they shot it in 2018 or 2017 or something like that.
Oh, wow.
They shot it a long time ago. And her favorite thing during the trailer is like, you know, he has such a baby face because this was shot so long ago. And I was like, he's just a baby guy anyway. So
yeah, now he looks like, you know, Mel Gibson with a big white beard or something. We'll talk in a minute, but...
Oh, and then, like, for my wife and I, it's got some Mads in there. So I'm like, you can't go wrong with Mads, Daisy Ridley, and you know, a little teen eye candy in Holland there.
Well, you know what they did, though? That's still Tom Holland. What they did, they had to reshoot some scenes, and because it was shot so long ago, he had his baby face, and now that's what he looks like today.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, I want to watch it because... I have no idea what's going on or how any of it happens or what it all means. And I sure hope you learn something about, like, I mean, it's like photography. So if you think about photography and you see a cool photo is going to get you to stop and think, like, what on earth is going on here? You just see like a snapshot. You don't care. But this movie is like a cool photo in that it stops you in your tracks and you're thinking, what is going on? It explains very little. It leaves so much open. And then they start throwing in aliens and such.
Right.
And you're thinking like, I have no idea what this thing's about, where it's going, what it is, why there's no women, why they're killing them. How do guys get to show their thoughts? It looks fascinating.
Yeah.
I hope I'm not disappointed, because it looks extremely promising. Like it's going to deliver.
And it's based on a book, and that was, you know, the kids, I think
that's what I thought was interesting too.
Yeah. It's like, what was it? I think one of the kids, I think maybe Bryce said it this time. He said, are there no original ideas in movies anymore? Is everything off of a book or another movie or another this or another that? And I'm like, sure, why not?
Most movies, I think, throughout Hollywood history, whatever, are based on books.
Right. I mean, look at the whole Marvel Cinematic Universe is based on comic books. It's not even like there's nothing original. You don't have to worry about being original.
It looks really good. I can't wait to see it. I'm looking forward to learning about all that goes on, because I'll tell you what, there is a lot going on in the trailer.
And it does its job. And I think that's why this is one of my favorite trailers of the year, because it's doing its job. It's posing the questions. It's piquing your interest. It's giving you the exposition that you need to get you in a place where you feel like you're there. It's simple. You know, I think we talked a little bit about Midnight Sky, how it's trying to do too. I felt like it was trying to do too much. This is a similar kind of story. You would think it's kind of this dystopic future. However, it feels like once you get to the core idea, we're going to be in that one place for the whole movie, and that's all that will satisfy. And then on top of that, you have Mad's style, like his style through this whole thing, like his, the way he dresses and the furs and stuff. It's like, it's amazing.
Oh, I love it.
You could tell that everybody, every department had fun with this. It's like the wardrobe department has like, ooh, how are we going to wardrobe these people? You know, like take clues from the book and, you know, what would it look like if you were, you know, back in the 1800s and you had a lack of technology, but you had super high technology, but then you didn't have manufacturing in the same scale. So I think that's really fun to play with.
Yeah, it's like a world made by hand or something.
Yeah.
All right, so One Night in Miami.
Yes, sir.
It looks awesome.
It's amazing. So my question to you, and okay. I went, Anne asked me this question, then she immediately ran off, and then she looked it up, but did this really happen?
You mean A Night in Miami where they got together and like kind of planned Black Power?
Yeah.
I have no idea.
That was my big question to the whole thing.
The thing that I am most curious about this movie is I know a lot about Jim Brown, a lot about Muhammad Ali. I don't know really much at all about Malcolm X.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I kind of know the high points of, you know, of who he was a little bit and stuff, but he's probably the civil rights guy that I know the least about. I don't really know, you know, kind of where he comes from, how he died. I mean, I really don't know anything about him.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking forward to that. Hopefully it's going to be on point as far as historical accuracy with regard to that. The other thing I kind of like too is it's not really a Muhammad Ali movie or a Malcolm X movie, or I mean, it's a civil rights movie, but it's like you said, it's just this night in Miami where they kind of plan the whole movement of sorts. I don't even know. I mean, it looks fascinating, though.
Yeah. I mean, it, from what I gathered and, you know, the little bit of research that I did, it's a fictional evening, right?
It is fictional.
It's fictional, but the men were around and the men are historic. So it's historical fiction.
Okay.
The men were all around at the same time, but they never really had a meeting like this. But like you said, it really plays on this, on the idea that if they were to come across each other, they might have had interactions like this. It's interesting. So early this week, part of this, since we don't do what we're listening to, I was listening to a podcast, Smartless. Have you heard of Smartless?
I have not. It must be one of, like, I don't know, how many 100,000 podcasts out there or something?
I think there's 1 million podcasts now.
Get out. No wonder no one listens.
Well, I mean, including all the dead podcasts.
Yeah, see, I think there's got to be, like, Podfade at some point, I don't know. They need to go into, like, a archive of sorts.
Some different thing, right? So Smartless is a podcast with Jason Bateman, Will Arnett, and Sean Hayes.
Oh, that one. You sent that to me.
Yeah, I sent you a little clip of it. But this one, they had Conan O'Brien on it. And it's interesting because when funny people meet each other in the world, you know, when they come across each other, even if they'd never met each other before, sometimes they'll just go through a bit. Like Jack Brayer, the intern on 30 Rock, him and Conan O'Brien never really like hung out or knew each other. But in their podcast, they talk about the times that they ran, like Conan O'Brien talked about the time that he would run across Jack Brayer and he would just give Jack Brayer a hard time. Like he was like a country bumpkin and like Conan O'Brien was the city slicker, you know? And they would go back and forth like it was a bit. Like they never, you know, like if I saw you on the street, how you been doing? You know, we'd small talk. They jump all the small talk as comedians and they go straight into a bit. And sometimes they'll just do a bit for like 45 minutes. If they're like on a plane together, like he sat next to Will Ferrell and him and Will Ferrell just did a bit the whole time on the plane together. They never said hello. They've never hung out before that. They just went into a routine and they would just like riff off each other improv style. You know what I mean? Just because they're talented comedians. So I think of this One Night in Miami a lot like something like that, except these are all people that are thinking about the plight of their people. And if they had come across each other because they had known so publicly about the other one, you can kind of pick up from the middle and you can just start in on it. And you don't even have to know, you don't have to say like, well, my name is Muhammad Ali. I'm a great boxer and I'm also a great civil rights activist. You know what I mean? You just jump to the part where you talk about how we need to work together to make this better. So I think that was the funniest thing for me, to draw this correlation between this podcast that I listen to about comedians and this group of civil rights activists that never met and yet probably could pick up from the middle because they all knew historically and publicly where they stood.
Well, and that's, yeah, and another way to look at that too is you're somebody who's famous and or infamous or whatever it is, but people know you, and you walk into a room at a party, like there's really no introduction needed.
Right.
It's like, yeah, I mean, you're a ball player, you're an actor, you're whatever, a politician or something, and people know who you are. So they could just start talking about stuff.
Right, exactly. You jump to the middle.
Yeah, you don't need all the, hey, how's the kids? You know? Hey, yeah, weather's going to be kind of foggy tomorrow. Might get rain. Oh, God, that's the worst kind of conversation I could ever do. But yeah, this looks cool. And what is it going to be on? I don't know if I saw.
It's going to be on Prime Video, so it's Amazon.
Oh, Prime, that's right.
And one of my favorite things that makes me want to champion this even more is that it's Regina King produced. So she's finally gone from, you know, from in front of the camera to behind the camera. Now she's producing this. So it's amazing.
So getting the man in front of the camera. The fat man. You need a wide angle lens for the fat man. So this is already out, but Thanksgiving, Christmas, you know, and
holiday season.
You know, we're doing three trailers. We gotta finish with the greatest Christmas movie of all time. I mean, it's an amazing take on Santa. I love this.
Fresh. It's a fresh take.
Oh, this is amazing.
Do you think this is a play on the Scrooge skit?
Wait, you think it's Scrooge?
No, Scrooged in the movie Scrooge, the Bill Murray movie Scrooge. They have a promo for Lee Majors Christmas or something.
That's right.
And it's like they want to sell like a tank or something, and it's part of the you know, part of the lineup of holiday lineup for the Scrooge TV channel.
Oh yeah, that's a good man, that is deep.
That's a deep pull, sorry.
Yeah, that went deep. So no, that's good though, man. I like that. I don't know, probably not. Or maybe they took inspiration from something like that.
Just a passing note.
Yeah, and it's on digital demand right now, or on demand and digital right now. I mean, you could probably rent it at all the places that you typically would rent stuff, correct?
Yeah. Everywhere, streaming everywhere kind of thing.
Yeah, do you think this would have been a theater movie?
It probably would have been.
Yeah, it feels like it.
It seems like there's a whole, you know, there's this whole rack of, you know, between Thanksgiving and Christmas. It's got tons of weekends in it. It would have been on the lower end earlier weekends. I probably would have been leading into Thanksgiving. So I think it's right where it's supposed to be.
Yeah, it looks great. I mean, I don't know. Like, we have the in-laws coming this weekend. Put the boys to bed. I mean, do I put this on for Barbara? I might scar her childhood or something, you know? Memories of her childhood. Yeah, or Mel Gibson might scar her childhood.
No, I like Mel Gibson doing this. Yeah.
Oh yeah, I do too. And I wanted to ask, I mean, whatever happened, remember when he had like that like, I don't even know what it was, that diatribe when he got pulled over drunk driving or something, and
the Pacific Coast Highway
yeah
issue.
So whatever happened with that? I mean, that was what, about 10, 15 years ago or something.
It feels like it. But I bet it was more recent than that. I think it's just, you know, he was just in Hollywood purgatory for a little bit. I think that's all he suffered.
Yeah, okay, because I mean, he lost his mind for a minute there.
Well, yeah, he seemed pretty drunk on that.
Yeah, he brought himself back, I guess, from the brink. And yeah, this looks good though, man. I'm looking forward to it. I like all the action and stuff, and it looks like there's a lot of, like, it's dark comedy with the, you know, with the kid kind of pulling the strings on the back end and from getting the coal, and I don't know. It's just, and you know, there's going to be like various puns, it sounds like, and it just sounds like it's going to be a all-around fun explosion movie to watch, and I don't know. I think it's going to be cool.
Do you think it's going to replace you Die Hard as the number one action Christmas movie?
We'll have to see. I mean, Die Hard's up there. Die Hard's the number one Christmas movie of all time.
I think so.
I don't know. You're going to watch this.
Yeah, so I think I will watch it.
It's not for Anne, though.
It's not for Anne. And I'm kind of falling into Anne's space of like not wanting to, we pay for so many subscriptions.
Right.
Not wanting to pay for this too.
Oh, I agree with that. I mean, I do rent things now and again, mm-hmm. and the things I rent, typically the rental price is anywhere from like $2.99 to $4.99. Anything more than that, I'm going to hold off because, like you said, I mean, you're paying for various subscriptions, and it's hard to pull the trigger on a $20 rental.
Oh, yes, 100%.
But like I said, I mean, if this is like anywhere between $2.99 to $4.99, you know, it's doable. I mean, if I want to watch it bad enough, I'll do that stuff, and I have, and there's no other way to get it.
Right.
But if this comes out like, okay, let's say we don't watch it this year, but next Christmas, you know, it's whatever. It's on Netflix or Amazon or...
What streamer picks it up, yeah.
What streamer, yeah. Then it's like, okay, we'll just catch it then. Like, it if it's good, it could be timeless.
Yes, especially holiday movies, for sure.
That's what I mean, yeah. It could be timeless. So I don't think it's that big of a deal to watch this year if it's expensive.
Like the title? Title's pretty... Awesome.
Oh, the title's great. I love how they throw it around in the movie, or in the trailer, I should say. And obviously in the movie they're going to, you know, where like it's a derogatory term, but then it's like an endearing term. Like he's like, I'm the fat man, you know, and
he owns it. He owns the term.
Yeah, he owns it. But yet the kid stuff's like, that's it, fat man, you know, and like, I just think it's great. I mean, all around, I think the writing and the idea behind it, even if the movie is crap, but I think the idea behind it is brilliant.
Yeah. So speaking of the rentals and renting stuff, I saw a trailer last couple weeks ago called Come Away, and we didn't really cover it because it was already out, and we don't, you know, we like to get stuff that's a little bit longer lead. But Come Away is like a precursor to Peter Pan and Alice in Wonderland or something like that. So it's kind of this fictitious precursor. And I was like, oh, this is great. You know, we're going to watch this. You know, I saw this trailer. I got all this work out of the way. Let's watch it tonight. You know, so I went in, we're getting ready for dinner, got dinner on the table, getting ready to watch it. It was supposedly in Prime Video. You know, I pulled it up in a Prime Video, hit the play button. And what pops up? $19.99.
Whoa.
And I was like, $19.99? And it's like a Wednesday night. Like, it's not even, it's a school night, you know, or like, we're going to watch the whatever it is, and we're going to get the kids in bed, you know?
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm not spending 20 bucks. You know, $20 is a special occasion. I'm sorry. You know?
If like the latest, whatever, Star Wars comes out and... You know, you can't go to the theater because typically there's a Star Wars this time of year. You know, and the four of you watch it, and maybe you're going to watch it that night. And you might even watch it midday the following day because you get it for 24 hours.
Yeah.
You know, like, sure.
Well, yeah, for the next Star Wars movie, if something like that were to happen, I would want to, like, get the highest level of ownership possible for repeat viewing, you know? Because I would definitely want to see it more than a couple times. And then over the course of like a month or 2 months, I would want to see it at least a couple of times, like once every couple of weeks.
Right.
That's just, I don't know. That's really strange. That's the way we watch movies, but that's very much the way we watch movies. Anyway, so Come Away. I went in and I was so dejected, and I was like, oh, it's a great holiday movie. Let's get in the holiday spirit the week before, you know, we do before Thanksgiving. And then I was like, oh, this isn't available. You know, $20, I'm not going to spend it. So instead, what we watched that evening was Jingle All the Way. I'm moving us into the what we're watching. Is that okay? Right?
No, that's beautiful. Go for it.
So we watched Jingle Jangle. Have you heard of this?
Jingle Jangle. No,
Jingle Jangle. So Jingle Jangle is a musical on Netflix. So Netflix, you know for a fact, if it's on Netflix, you know that you're not paying extra for it.
Well, no, you are paying extra because they just raised the price to $13.99.
You're paying extra for everything, though. That's just your admin. That's your overhead. You know, like, so you're not paying a fee for just the piece of content. You're paying the extra for everything.
Right.
And this is a great movie. Like, it's got music. It's got little baby robots. It's got kids. It's holiday. It's, you know, got a fictitious old in town. It's got Forrest Whitaker as an old toy maker.
And this one's family friendly, I'm assuming.
Family friendly. It's got Keegan-Michael Key as the evil toy maker. Well, yeah, maybe I'm giving a little bit away. Spoiler, sorry. But
I have no
anyway,
idea anything,
it was great.
So you're not giving away anything.
It was a great movie. The kids loved it. Your kids would love it too, I think.
Jingle Jangle. So that,
Jingle Jangle.
All right, maybe we'll watch it when the grandparents are here.
It's something the whole family could watch.
Cool. You know, we'll do that.
Be singing.
Then. Very exciting.
Yeah, and you know, it had Bryce singing. It has like a song that has a reprise throughout. And by the second time the song came through, Bryce was already singing the song. So,
oh, nice.
You know, that's a winner.
Yeah.
What else did I watch this week? I'll just keep going since I started.
Yeah, go for it.
This evening we watched Charlie Brown's Thanksgiving.
Yeah, we need to do that.
It's on Apple TV Plus right now, but I think on Thanksgiving it'll be on other streaming services.
Yeah.
So you could watch that this Thanksgiving.
And I think we have the DVD or something.
Oh, there you go. Perfect.
Yeah.
Toss the DVD in. Oh, and we watched the Star Wars Legos Christmas special.
Oh, how was it?
It was good. It was really good. It hit all the points.
And what's the streaming service?
That one?
Disney Plus?
It is Disney Plus, yes.
Yeah, we'll have to watch that one too.
You have Disney Plus, you're on that, you're good to go.
Yep.
And then we watched a couple of Animaniacs.
Animaniacs, yeah.
those are good. Just both of those were good. And the cool thing about the Christmas special, the Lego Star Wars Christmas special, was it had played off of the old Christmas special, the one that you shared with me and that we've seen back in the day. So
did it really?
It had Chewbacca's family coming.
Oh, God.
And Chewbacca's family hung out there while Rey is off doing her little adventure. Oh, so it was a nod to the old one, even though
that is
the old one is
funny,
the worst.
Oh, that it was just terrible. Yeah. That's hilarious.
And then during the week, Bryce and I watched Avatar again. We're big Avatar fans, and he can't wait for 2022 when the next Avatar comes out. But until then, we'll just keep watching the old one every couple of months.
I'll bet, too. I mean, the way they did Avatar when that – what was that, about 2014 or something?
I think even before that.
It was before – yeah, that might have been – no, maybe it was like 2007 or something.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, and when that came out – it was amazing.
Cutting edge.
It was incredible. If they do Avatar, if they're working on it now with all the technology
they
out
are,
and
yeah.
everything, oh my God, it's going to be just outrageous.
Yeah, Avatar, this Avatar that we watched came out 2009.
2009.
So 11 years, and it's going to be 13 years between that and the next one. And it's so funny because Bryce is also very critical of the Na'vi people. And I was like, dude, this is still pretty amazing. Like, you know, the lighting's there, the shadows there, as these animated characters move through space, you can see, you know, everything changes. But he was like, oh, but there's some slight touches that they do nowadays that's so much better. And I'm like, maybe I'm just nostalgic for this, but it just seems damn cutting edge for today.
The best thing to come out of Avatar is when at the Academy Awards it took second behind The Hurt Locker and Catherine Bigelow.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That was amazing. And, you know, and James Cameron, you know, he was just so infuriated.
He's steaming.
Oh, he's probably like, I spent $100 million on this thing.
I thought you were going to talk about Ben Stiller coming out as the Na'vi blue face.
That was good, too. That was good, too. Yeah, cool. You know, I haven't seen that movie for years.
Oh, yeah, it's on Disney Plus. Yeah, I mean, it's a long movie, so we broke it up over a week's long lunches, but it was fun to, like, Bryce and I would go up to the main house, get our lunch, bring it back down to the guest house because Anne and
this guy, like, he's on the Willett Manor.
That's right, because Anne and Audrey don't want to see it. They don't want to hear it. They don't want to see it.
Why?
So we'd watch it down here. I don't know. They're just not fans of Avatar.
Wow.
Let's see what else I got. I have my notes on what I watched this week. I watched Ted Lasso again.
Oh, Jesus, guy.
Every week I'll watch Ted Lasso. This week I finally, you know, I think this week and last week I've gotten Audrey to watch most of it. We have two more episodes with Audrey. And then the last thing that we watched this weekend was we binged like three or four episodes of Alex Rider.
Alex Rider.
Alex Rider. And on the, you know, like
what's Alex Rider?
I'm really branching out on the streaming services. This one was on IMDb TV.
Okay.
So it's one of the free streaming services you get with Amazon, I guess, or I guess you can get it on anything.
So do they play ads on it then or something? Or?
They play ads on it, but this is one of those shows that's presented ad-free, brought to you by State Farm. So at the beginning, they do like a 15-second State Farm commercial.
Got it, yeah.
And then they said this program is brought to you by State Farm, and they don't cut into the show ever again.
Brilliant. I love
and
that.
And it's about a teenage... Yeah, no, it's a great way to do it. It's about a British teenage... secret agent.
Okay.
So Audrey was into it. She's into the dude. You know, she likes his style, his clothing, his best friend, his nanny. You know, he's got a nanny, and it's just a fun show. And there's some light interrogation scenes and stuff like that. And sometimes that can get, you know, a little too intense for Bryce.
Yeah.
And one of the interrogation scenes, like, it starts, you know, and Anne looks at me like, is, you know, is Bryce going to be sleeping with us again? Because you made him watch this thing, you know?
That's so funny.
But Bryce was into it, and the interrogation scene was over. And then later on, you kind of learn more things about it. So it has this level of peril that it raises. But then in the end, when you realize, when they pull back the curtain on everything, the level of peril kind of diminishes. So in the longer run, it's not so bad. It's more of like Cloak and Dagger, but with no real heightened peril. So I really like that. It's an interesting, it's very difficult to find a show that can be both for my highly calloused 14-year-old and my highly sensitive 11-year-old,
you
know?
That's funny, yeah.
They're only 3 years apart, but yet she watches horror movies. Yeah, she watches horror movies, and he can't stand like people that are put in peril, that, you know, that challenges
the conflict,
their life.
Yeah,
just the drama, if it's like a drama at a certain height.
That emotional turmoil and conflict. Interesting.
And then the last thing I watched, there's one other thing I watched by myself this morning. Anne and I woke up, and she was like, do you mind if I watch a West Wing? It's like, go ahead, watch a West Wing. So she rolled over, watched a West Wing. I snuggled up against...
Like before breakfast?
Like it's 6 o'clock in the morning. Like we're just going to wake up, and then we're like, oh, do we go back? We couldn't go back to sleep. So she turned on a West Wing, and then I turned on Big Sky. Have you heard of this?
Big Sky?
I think it's... Is it Big Sky?
Is it Montana? Sure.
It is.
Okay.
Is that Big Sky?
Well, it's Big Sky Country.
It's the new Fox TV show produced by David E. Kelly.
Okay.
Is that right?
Like Fox is in like the network channel?
The network Fox.
Okay.
I watched it on Hulu. I think there was some kind of, is it Fox or is it ABC? Does it even matter? Oh, it's ABC. So sorry. So Disney now owns two, so it's hard to differentiate.
Right.
It's ABC's new drama called Big Sky, and it's cool. It's like a David E. Kelly of Twin Peaks fame, so it's got a murder mystery kind of weirdness to it. And in the first half of the episode is all these songs and a lot of like musicality to it, which is so David E. Kelly and kind of Robert. Oh no, not am I wrong? And David E. Kelly Twin Peaks. Twin Peaks is Lynch, David Lynch. What did David E. Kelly do?
I don't know. I've never seen it, so.
No. So David E. Kelly of old, you know, all the hour dramas from back in the day, like Boston Legal, and I don't know what else he did. He did a bunch of other stuff. Boston Practice, and more recently, I guess, Big Little Lies, which is a big short TV show. He's known for his short run TV shows and kind of murder mystery stuff and procedural dramas.
Like limited series and so on.
Ally McBeal back in the day and more classic television days. But yeah, I watched the first episode and, you know, I thought, oh, this is interesting. It's kind of going somewhere. And then the pilot ends and it's just like, it slaps you in the face in the last 2 minutes. So it's kind of amazing. Definitely makes you want to see more. The pilot's kind of a trailer, a promo of its own where you need to see beyond it.
Right. It does the job it was intended to do to get you to watch the next episode.
Exactly.
That's right.
How about you? What have you been watching this week?
Not nearly as much. We finished The Queen's Gambit. We had a couple episodes of that to go, so we finished that. I talked about it last week, so I won't get too much into it, but really enjoyed it. And after it ended, we broke out the chess set.
Oh, nice.
Got Clarissa playing chess. Now the boys are playing chess. They're into chess. So they didn't watch The Queen's Gambit, but they saw me and Clarissa playing and they wanted to learn. So they learned how the pieces move.
Oh, that's awesome.
And yeah, now they're playing each other. It's funny watching a 5 and a 7-year-old play chess. They want to move all their pawns. And I'm like, you know, you should start moving some of the back row guys. Oh, no, yeah. I'm saving those. And like there's these pawn battles going on until like all the pawns are practically taken.
Yeah.
And then they start moving other things. I mean, it's funny to watch their strategies. Well, I should say they don't even have strategy.
Right.
You know, but it's really cute to see. And then, you know, like when one takes the other, like they have this little like pout, you know, but then they immediately get over it and they go after the other guy's pawn, even though they're going to lose a bishop or something, but they don't care because they're like taking pieces. And it's pretty funny. It's pretty funny, but really cute.
You have to wait until the point where Bryce likes it so much that because of also Queen's Gambit, Audrey's been watching it and she's trying to convince us all to watch it. And between you and Audrey, I should definitely see it, but I can't get Anne to watch it. And I want Anne. I said, Anne, this is for us. We got to watch this together.
Anne would totally be into it.
But she wants to finish West Wing. She's like, I'm binging West Wing. I'm doing it. I'm knocking it out. That's her goal.
Yeah, it's not a job. Jeez. Put it on pause and go to a different show for 7 episodes.
Bryce and I played a couple games this week, and it is amazing to lose to your 11-year-old, like, most of the time.
That's hilarious.
Like, I beat him once or twice this week, but we must have played 6 or 7 games this week. And it's so funny because, like, he beat me we'd play, like, 3 matches a night, you know? And he beat me the first match, and I'm boiling, you know? I'm like, I can't stand it. You're 11 years old. Like, I shouldn't. But he has strategy. Like, we put him through classes and stuff. So he knows, like, how to do things and, like, get you to do things with your players. And then the second game we played, I was like livid. I was like steaming. So I was like, I'm gonna go hard, you know? So I knocked out all these players. Well, no, I knocked out so many of his players, right? And he's just cool as a cucumber. I knocked him down to like a queen and a rook.
That's all you need.
A king, a queen, a rook, a king, and a couple of pawns. And I'm like, I got you on the ropes. Like, you know, but his king's out in space. And I was like trying to like narrow in on this king. And I'm like so focused on the king. And I just left my king back. I did a little castle in the back. And, you know, he's just sitting back there. And I'm just working really hard because I have all these pieces to, you know, to bombard his king. And out of nowhere, he's just like, checkmate. And I was like, what happened? Where did that come from? Like, he goes, oh, well, you blocked yourself with the rook over here. You can't do anything with him. And then my queen's in the space and you can't do anything.
That's like, hilarious.
And then he puts his hand over the board, like, you know, hangs his hand over the board to shake my hand. And I was like, wait. I'm sure that can't be checkmate. I'm sure that I can have a way out of it. But I got through my stages of grief quickly, and the bargaining quickly gave way to acceptance. And
that's so funny. Yeah, and then The Mandalorian again, the next episode.
Oh yeah, we saw that too.
Yeah, I mean the child is they gotta tone down the cuteness, man. It's like it's getting to the point. It's like it's just cartoonish almost.
Well, they kind of put it on a B plot this week. You know, they put the child on the back burner. They separated the Mandalorian from the child.
Yeah, but there's he's still eating the cookies, you know, and like
vomiting.
Vomiting. And as they're going down, he has his hands raised and
wee.
Yeah, it's just over the top. And then the last thing we watched was Mile 22.
Oh, yeah.
So we covered that in episode 27. Too bad we didn't do that in episode 22.
That would have been.
Yeah, but
that would have been superior planning.
Yeah, but that would have been superior planning on Mark Wahlberg. Because they had to have released it at a certain point. But yeah, Mile 22, I mean, it was like an hour 20 minutes or something.
Did you like it?
Yeah, super fast.
Yeah.
Cut out any fluff that there could possibly be. It's just all action.
Yeah.
From the go, it's just action. And did you see it?
Loved it. Ann and I watched it. We loved it. I'm a big Peter Berg fan, so I love it.
Yeah, so yeah, the twist at the end really gets you, and you're just like, what? You know? No, it was great. Yeah, I enjoyed it. And, you know, I mean, he's just running around and, like, you know, what's the guy's name? Eko Uwaiser? I don't even know how to pronounce it. The Indonesian dude?
Oh, yeah. I forget. Yeah.
I looked him up. And he's like a master in like the traditional Indonesian martial arts.
Yeah, stuff. Yeah.
He's like a world champion in this thing or something.
Oh, yeah. That interrogation room fight sequence is amazing.
Oh, that was so incredible. I mean, he just completely like just destroys. I mean, it was amazing. You know, rips the bed apart and starts beating the hell out of guys with the bed and everything, man. It was. There were a couple things, though, I didn't really care for. A couple of plot points the way it played out.
Okay.
Everybody's wanting to kill this guy,
mm-hmm.
and he wants asylum in the U.S., and he's wanting to get out of there, yet they keep him handcuffed the whole time, and they won't give him a weapon, you know, and they keep handcuffing him to cars and stuff.
Uh-huh.
Every time they leave one car to another, it's like, what are you doing? This guy can, like, help you. He doesn't want to stick around either.
but at that point, right, this has been a long time since I've seen it, but I always thought it was...
Well, he eventually got a weapon.
But I thought it was the fact that they didn't trust that he was truly seeking asylum yet, like, you know?
Oh, I see what you're... Yeah, maybe that...
It could have been like a two-front attack, you know, where somebody seeks asylum and then they take it on and then... They could attack you from both sides kind of thing.
So you lower your trust on him and then he takes you out or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Maybe.
But no, it was great though. I mean, I really enjoyed it.
Wall-to-wall action, yeah.
Another complaint I have of it though is, so I put a lot of stuff on, like when they have like the Jack Bauer like whisper talk.
Uh-huh.
I put a lot of things on subtitles. And so I put it on subtitles and it's like man speaking Indonesian, speaking Russian or something. I'm like, well, that's weird.
Right.
Maybe it's because subtitles are on. I turn off the subtitles and they're just talking Indonesian or Russian or something. No subtitles on what they're saying.
Right.
I was like, come on. You got to give me if you're going to show a scene where there's Russian dialogue, you got to tell me what they're saying. Otherwise, don't waste your time.
I think they just wanted to level a pinch of authenticity.
Yeah, but if I'm in the airplane with them, that means I should be speaking their language.
Okay, maybe. Yeah, that's okay.
Like, I'll give you an example, and not a movie example, but like, let's say for instance, I don't know, it's a Jason Bourne movie or whatever, and they're sitting on a sidewalk cafe in Istanbul, and people are speaking Turkish. At a table next to you, and he doesn't speak Turkish, so you're looking at that scene through the lens of Jason Bourne.
Right.
But let's say he doesn't speak Turkish. That makes sense to not know what they're talking about because you are at the table with Jason Bourne or a CIA agent.
Right.
But if you get placed into a car and everybody, unless you're that same agent or something who gets kidnapped and it lends to the confusion. But if for some reason they're having dialogue back and forth between like two Turkish guys and like the CIA guy is not even in the scene, then you got to give me the subtitles.
Give me the translation. Yeah, give me the translation.
Yeah, otherwise I don't know what's going on in the scene and why that scene's important.
I got you.
Yeah, and then, you know, you almost think to yourself like, man, we need like a Russian friend and an Indonesian friend. And they could tell me what's going on here. Yeah, or get like Shazam, but for language.
Google Translate, but Google just Translate. Hold it up to your ear. You know what would be cool? Like, I just got the Alexa earbuds.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like it's Bluetooth earbuds that I put in my ear, but it's Alexa enabled. So I can talk to my earbuds.
Right.
And it has this Dolby AR, Dolby noise reduction, and then also Dolby active pass-through. So it has a speaker on the outside and a microphone on the outside, and it passes it through to the actual inside.
Okay.
And it changes the level. You could have that actually translate on its way in.
Oh, like in real time.
Real time. That'd be cool.
Very cool. I have these Purity One earbuds. They're like cheapy Chinese earbuds or something, right? That I got on Amazon for like $10. Or I don't know what, you know, I use them for podcasts. They last about 4 hours, right?
Uh-huh.
Or when you need to charge them, it puts out a little like woman's voice and it says, "Please charging." It's like
broken English.
You got the translation wrong. Please charging. All right, man. On that note, let's get the heck out of here.
All right, dude. Have a great week. Happy Thanksgiving.
Have a great week. If I don't talk to you guys, happy Thanksgiving. Well, I'm sure we'll be texting here and there. And
yep.
We'll definitely watch some of those things with the grandparents. I'm sure the boys will
Jingle
love
Jangle.
It.
Highly recommend.
Jingle Jangle and the Fat Man. Yeah. All right,
awesome.
Dude. We'll catch you.
Have a good one.
You too.
Bye.
Next week, join Jim and Ted as they disarm another Hollywood bomb or marketing masterpiece. Remember, the Holy Trinity of podcasting. Subscribe, like, share.
Special thanks to Jeremy Kent Jackson for the voiceover and Rahelio for the music.